things like economic impacts and such. We presented some expert testimony at some of these hearings about the costs, and as you might expect, when we analyzed costs, we thought that Cane Creek was going to be a more expensive reservoir, and that the other options were going to be less expensive, the other options being Haw River or Jordan Lake or enlarging University Lake.
Right.
And their experts said quite the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was telling me recently that they saw something in the newspaper about the more or less final cost of Cane Creek, and it was up around 14 or 16 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I vaguely remember that that was in the ballpark of what we were projecting some years ago. And the Wassa's figures were more like 10 or 12 million.
Wow.
About water quality, I guess we had to acknowledge that the water out here was pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
But we attempted to put forth testimony that it might not be really as neat as Owasa was presenting it. We had some data about background levels of heavy metals, for example, a consequence of just the kind of soil and rock that we have. And it turns out that there are fairly high levels of things like, I don't know, cadmium, chromium, mercury out here, things that would occasionally get up to critical levels, but usually we're not. So we talked about water quality, but we harped on social impacts, which we said federal law required the Corps of Engineers to consider when they were handing out permits for dams like this. And Owasa did virtually nothing on social impact. They didn't present any testimony on it, and they claimed that it was minor and they weren't required to address this issue and such.
Well, I noticed they had one letter from some guy, it's from some department, Chapel Hill, at one point, where they were commenting on the environmental impact statement that sort of said, well, we don't really know all these things are going to happen. That was about it.
Yeah.
It's not a very good, clear letter. Well, I was interested in terms of your feeling to getting in, you know, getting across to these people that the community was important and all of that. Did it take some work to convince people here that the community was important, and particularly that it was more important than economic progress, more or less?
I don't think so. I think that what we did was raise consciousness. We did things, said things, pointed out things that made local people even more aware of some of the positive features of living out here in the county and having a really nice community. And I can remember that we used Dan Okun's comment to with some effect. I guess one of the things that we were harping on was that if the reservoir came, that in a few years the whole community would be changed drastically. And I can remember Dan Okun saying at some point, I think he said it in front of a camera, so it got onto one of the films that was made. He said, that community is going to be changed drastically in any way. He says, in 20 years, those dairy farms won't be there. And I think he said that about 1978 or 9. And that was a pretty scary thing for local folks to hear, and it made them mad. Mm-hmm. It was almost like saying, you know, why bother to save the community at Cane Creek? It's already gone. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there that can be saved in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did all this stuff. Had a, I think, a very sort of vital kind of organization, developed a very detailed case as to why it was important not to build a reservoir, but there it is, and it was filled up Friday, I guess they announced Friday morning, but that it was full. How is the fact that you, I mean, or has the fact that you fought this fight and that you lost it, do you think that that's made you see or understand the way things work in the world or whatever differently? I mean, do you think that you learn things about, I mean, this is kind of a vague question, I realize, but I mean, does it change any kind of, in a basic way, any kind of your ideas? Or
are you saying, have we learned bitterly that you can't fight City Hall?
Well, I don't know. I mean, have you learned something, you know, something that you could, like that, or, you know, in that kind of,
I don't think,
I mean, maybe it's a bad question.
I don't think you'll find too many regrets in the neighborhood about it. I think you'll find people saying, yeah, it was a good fight, it was a tough fight, I'm glad we did it. Mm-hmm. But as for it's causing a spirit of resignation and I give up and you can't fight City Hall, I would say that's probably not the case. We kind of did fight City Hall on another issue and won it. There was an attempt to put an airport out here, and the airport is not here. And certainly the community was opposed almost unanimously. And I don't know whether that opposition was critical to its being defeated. But it might have been. The airport issue is coming up again. And once more, the community is apprehensive that there's so many potential sites that are located in Bingham Township. Mm-hmm. And so you can hear things in the community begin to rumble and coalesce again. Here's another fight we've got. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's got some of us involved in community affairs on a low level but semi-permanent basis. We have a Bingham Advisory Township Council that meets fairly regularly, and its topic is community issues.
Is this a new kind of thing?
This is something that the county has encouraged. There are advisory councils in every one of the townships. Ours may be one of the more active ones, and a lot of the people who sit on it have some roots back in the Cane Creek Conservation Authority. We like to keep an eye on things and express our opinions and feelings both to the planning department, the planning board, county commissioners. And I think we have had some effect somewhere. I think if the airport issue raises its head again, you'll see some people in the community becoming interested in stopping that. There's another issue that's going on that that we occasionally agitate on, and that's Owassa's disposal of sludge from the sewage disposal plant. And the township, I think the township's probably getting the 3/4 of all the sludge that accumulates. And we're worried about its concentration in one of our watersheds. Mm-hmm. We have agitated on that issue, and we have had some effects. I think it's a better operation than it would have been if we hadn't been pretty watchful. So it could be that one of the legacies is a sort of a heightened awareness of things.
Do you think the fact that the fight took so long had an effect on it, that you did certainly seem to have some effect in terms of in the courts and being able to delay things even if you lost? Or, I mean, I guess I'm just interested in how this experience affects, you know, the way people view the world, the way people see things. That's kind of what I'm trying to...
Well, I hope that one of the effects was that people in Chapel Hill will be more careful when they put forth projects that benefit themselves but ask for people out in the county to make the sacrifices. I have heard some influential Chapel Hillians say that they had their consciousness raised on this level because of the Cane Creek fight.
What about statewide, do you think it's had? I mean, it seems like in the end it was the state that made these decisions.
Well, every now and then I've had inklings that the Cane Creek fight was being watched in other parts of the state, and that lessons were being learned. Nothing dramatic of that sort has happened, but I've just had inklings. Mm-hmm. And certainly, had we won it, there was some interest in writing it all up and informing other endangered communities about how they might resist such things. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I guess it could still be done. With maybe some suggestions about how they might win rather than just postpone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you'd have done things differently if it was now and you knew everything you already knew? That you'd have done anything differently?
Boy, that's a tough question. I would hate to have to go back through that again. That was hard work, and a lot of people sacrificed a lot of things. I think that we did things about as well as you could. I mean, we found out what the rules and regulations were, mm-hmm. And then I think we challenged Owosso at all the appropriate places. I'm not sure that we could have done it any better.
Some people suggested that really what you needed to do more than legally was, again, political, more or less this old style thing of going around and talking to politicians and sort of lobbying in that sense, you know, people who were responsible for the EMC and all of that.
Well, that's true. And I can remember in the winter of 76, along about December and January, there were a small number of us who went shopping for lawyers. Mm-hmm. And there was a fairly prominent law firm in Raleigh that expressed some interest in taking the case. And I think that had we gone with them, that might have been their approach, mm-hmm. to go to the power brokers and talk to them quietly. And who knows, that might have been the better approach, but we couldn't afford them, couldn't
right.
come anywhere close to affording what they wanted to charge. We wound up going with Dave Harlow and Ted Corvette, who were then young lawyers just starting out. They were very smart, had a lot of energy, and were like knights in shining armor, ready to charge out and fight dragons. And we could afford them. Mm-hmm. And they did very well for us. But it was a different approach, mm-hmm. vastly different.
Mm-hmm. I guess it would have been hard for a small community to adopt the influence kind of approach. Or maybe it wouldn't have been. I don't know.
It probably could have been. We did have some people in the community who had ties to some of the power sources. Through just knowing them, being friends, but maybe they were not quite in the right place mm-hmm. to exercise influence.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think that, I mean, just again, trying to come back out and look in broad terms, in terms of the South, basically, in industrial development and growth and loss of agricultural land and all these other things that I think are really going on all over the region in areas that are near to cities, Sunbelt kind of things. What do you think that this particular battle and the particular outcome sort of its significance has in this bigger kind of context? Have you thought about that?
Yes, I was thinking about that. I haven't thought about it in a long time, but well, the issues are very important. This is a part of the country that's changing rapidly. That suggests that there needs to be a lot of thought given to growth management and long-range planning and such. And that whole approach can run headlong into exactly the opposite opinion of many landowners, that by God, it's my land and I don't want anybody telling me what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Now, you find some of that out here at Cane Creek. It's more a northern Orange County attitude than around here. There's a little bit more sympathy with zoning. We have zoning in this township, partly because the people out here didn't fight it as it has been fought in other townships in this county.
When did you get the zoning?
Oh, it came in, I think, early 70s. Is that? No. Late 70s.
Perhaps. So after this whole Cane Creek business?
Yeah. I think that maybe the Cane Creek thing made us sensitive to this issue and made us think that perhaps we do need to establish some limits on what people can do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me in that issue, part of that issue is that, you know, I want to do what I want to do with my land, but that without these regulations you can't do what you want to do with it anyway because of these other pressures that are gonna come to bear. I mean, maybe that's...
Well, I guess my opinion was that maybe in older times you didn't need zoning because everybody was a local person, and if somebody said, well, I'm going to build a store or a hog farm or whatever on my land, and if this upset the neighbors, then they would let him know. Mm-hmm. And in that way you had some kind of control over land use. I can remember, for instance, when I first moved out here about 1973, that kind of pressure, pre-zoning, was brought to bear. Across the creek over here, there was an absentee landowner who had leased his land to a couple of Chapel Hill guys who had turned a field into a motorcycle racing track. And there would be Saturdays when the road out here was just jammed up with cars, and there you'd hear the motorcycles racing around the track. One time they had Sunday morning races.
Ooh.
And the people in the church heard it. Phone calls were made, and the lease was stopped. Because of the phone calls made to the landowner.
Mm-hmm.
The landowner decided that he couldn't have bad community relations, and he saw to it that that was stopped. But then we could say to folks in the community, you know, that was a good absentee landowner, but supposing you had an absentee landowner who said, well, to hell with you, I'm going to do what I want to. And these days you have more and more absentee landowners who don't give a damn other than making some money. I think arguments like that help people see that perhaps zoning was, and land use planning, had some wisdom in it.
Was this, again, was this newer people in the community doing the work for the land use planner? You mentioned being on some kind of a committee.
Yeah, right. There was a mixture, but probably the newcomers were a little overrepresented on those community panels and committees and such.
Did you have people, did you have hearings at which people from the community came and said, I want to do what I want to do with my land?
A little bit out here, but not too much. It was more other folks, Ben Lloyd and those guys who live further north in the county who were saying things like that.
Well, I guess they're still right now.
Oh, yeah, right in the thick of it.
Why do you think this is different? I mean, other than Cane Creek raising people's consciousness, why is the feeling different down here, do you think? But maybe there's more newcomers here. I don't know.
I've wondered about that. I think that the community here is a little different, and I'm not sure why. They're a little bit more aware, I think, and it may go back to the community's early involvement in education. There were private academies out here in this area that go way on back into the last century. Maybe there was a level of awareness out here that was a little bit greater than in other parts of the county. That's just a hypothesis. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Well, now that the reservoir is built and full, although it hasn't been full very long, have you seen the things that you were worried were going to happen?
Well, we have. There is more evidence of a wasa bumbling. The word going around the community now is that the latest a wasa bumble is that the reservoir fills too fast for them.
Oh.
And that they're going to have to let the level back down again because they haven't built their boat docks.
Oh, no.
And they've got to lower the water, and build their boat docks, and then raise it back up again. I hope that that's a false rumor, because it sounds pretty dumb to me if they have to really do that. How stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but have you seen, again, evidence of more people moving out? Has the roads being closed been a problem? I mean, have you actually seen this, or do you think it's going to be a while before you sort of realize what's going to happen now that the reservoir is actually built in there?
Well, over on Apple Mill Road, there is a field that used to be tended by the tiers. They could get to it on Tier Road, across the road that's now closed. It's not too far away for them to farm. It's been marked off into lots. It's somebody has gone into that field and stuck in a few scraggly pine saplings, and there's a little right of way going right through the middle of the field, and you see stakes up, lot one, lot two. Those things are gonna start popping up around here. I was walking down the creek, down King Creek, just last week on private land. It's right at the edge of the lake. Came across a perfectly fabulous house site. Several house sites. High up above the reservoir, beautiful view. Man, all you need is a driveway into there. You can sell those lots for $10,000 an acre or more. I don't think the landowner has been out to see what a neat site that would be. And I don't think he's inclined to develop like that. But, you know, he's old and that land's going to come into the possession of some younger person and we'll see dollar signs, perhaps. And this thing could happen all around the lake. Wassa owns maybe 50 or 100 feet back from the water's edge, and after that it's private land. And there are some spectacular views to be had up in there. It'd be nice places to live. So we might get this place ringed with house sites yet. Mm-hmm. That was one of our fears, and I think it might come to pass.
Well, that's really pretty much what I was, I think that's answered most of my questions that I had. Is there anything that you think is important that we haven't dealt with? Yeah, maybe more something with sort of larger context kind of things?
Well, I think that we can still contemplate some of our basic arguments from 10 years ago. One of the things that we said was that the presence of the lake was going to be like a magnet for attracting in new development and was going to put pressure on the existing farms. I think that I personally am still fearful that the presence of the lake will accelerate whatever was going to happen anyway.
Wow.
In 5 years, maybe we'll have a better handle on that. We pointed out to, tried to point out to the community the other options that Owassa had, and pointed primarily to Jordan Lake.
Right.
And we can see now that in the last few years, Owassa has also been scrambling for their share of the allocation of water from the Jordan, and they're talking about putting in a pipeline. They're now talking about buying some land down there for a water treatment plant. We were saying they should do this all along and get all their water from that source, and they were saying, oh no, A, too expensive, B, too polluted.
Right.
And so here they are doing that. I also note with some chagrin that Owassa is considering selling some water, some treated water, to Northern Chatham. I hope that they don't get a tiger by the tail there. And I know they're going to say that they're only going to commit themselves to, say, 5 years of giving water, selling water to Chatham County. But I can see that if they, I would speculate that if they got into this business of getting a few extra bucks to offset the horrendous cost of King Creek, that they're going to get a tiger by the tail. They will find that they're servicing Northern Chatham County and they can't let go of it, because otherwise Northern Chatham County might not have any water at all. And you just can't cut people off like that. So I'm wondering about the propriety of Owosso considering selling water outside of its service district. Their charter says Southern Orange County. And the charter doesn't talk about supplying water beyond those bounds. So that worries me. Yeah, a few other things, but what the heck.
Well, what do you feel? I mean, how does it make you feel that the system, in a sense, sort of talking about the legal system and this political system and all this, didn't really seem to respond to those concerns of yours? And doesn't seem to
We were fighting a tremendous power system. It was Owosso, ostensibly, but in back of Owosso lay the town of Chapel Hill and the power of the university. And then, therefore, the whole power establishment of the state.